Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we got a special treat.
Oh, you lucky devils.
For all of you and for ourselves.
Yes.
We have watched the home cinema movie classic, Extreme Heist and or Wicked Games.
Only one of those titles got dropped during the course of the movie.
That's true. I don't know why they changed it in post after they named it Wicked Games in other places.
I looked up Wicked Game, just one Wicked Game, and there's like 10. So maybe that was the rights thing.
Does that Chris Isaac's song, Wicked Games, and they didn't want any weird contamination.
Well, they tried to get the song, but they didn't have any money. And he said, you can't use my song without paying me. He said, fine, we'll call it Extreme Heist.
They had enough money to rent two planes and one Honda Civic.
They did. So this movie is directed by Koichi Sakamoto and Makoto Yokoyama.
I don't know if it says on here.
It should say it on the bottom of the back.
Yokoyama. Yes.
Yokoyama. Co-directed by those two. You might recognize Koichi Sakamoto from being Koichi Sakamoto. And Makoto did do some episodes of Lightspeed. I remember seeing that name. And also we looked at one of the special features on Extreme Heist, the movie, the home cinema movie. And it just said three things that they did. And Johnny Young Bosch and Jason Narvies, who are the stars of this movie, said the same thing.
Yeah. So it has the special features are directors and cast. And so you can look at film
credits.
Oh, there
was a trailer too. We should have watched the trailer.
We should have, but we didn't.
It's too late now.
Yes, can't go back. Nope. So it's the two directors and Jason Narvies and Johnny Young Bosch, and that's the whole directors and cast.
Yep.
And it's just a list of three credits, and all of them include Extreme Heist.
Yeah, well, because it's the most recent thing they did when they made this movie. they thought this was the new hotness. Anyway, Josh, there's a summary. There's a little teaser on the back of the box, because we own a physical copy of this.
We own a secondhand used rental copy of Extreme Heist.
From Video Warehouse, a store somewhere.
That's why we keep calling it the Home Cinema Movie Classic, because it says it here underneath the scan UPC code.
Yep.
I don't want to say UPC because this is...
It's a barcode.
It's the rental code. Yeah. I'm opening it to read the summary.
That's on the back?
Look, Extreme Heist got me crazy. It's got me delusional. all right, folks. Get ready for martial arts action and Western-style stunts.
Love it. So far, I'm on board.
Like you've never seen before, when two small-time thieves become involved in one of the biggest bank heists of the century.
Well,
Billy Ray Lee and Guile. It doesn't give his last name on this.
Also, that's the wrong last name.
Is it?
Yeah, his last name is Leung. Or Lang? I don't know. It's L-E-U-N-G.
Yeah.
They show it in the movie.
Well, on the back of this, he's Billy Ray Lee and Guile have no idea what they're getting into when they steal a book that appears valuable and compromise a long-term sting operation set up to catch a gang of high-tech bank robbers. What the book contains is bank codes and passwords for accounts amounting to millions of stolen dollars.
Oh, dip. So we already watched it like we normally do because it's an hour and a half.
Yeah, we can't. And we can't record for 10 minutes and then watch a movie for an hour and a half and come back to this.
Yeah, it would be a mess. So we already watched it. I took notes. I took five entire pages of notes.
You busted your computer out for these notes.
I did. Well, when I do Spectre, I use that because typing on my phone for longer than 22 minutes or so cramps my hand up something fierce. So I learned like, oh, just pull out the laptop, do it on there, and then I read it on here, because technology's amazing.
It's pretty crazy the things we can do now.
Yeah, it's wild. Normally, you used to would have to pull out your big old desktop computer,
yep.
Type it out, print it on dot matrix paper.
Put it in your notes notebook,
yeah.
Your three-ring binder of notes.
And then flip through it like an animal. But now, I type it on my laptop in Google Drive, pull it up on my phone in Google Drive.
Easy peasy.
Boom. Should we just jump right in?
I think we should.
Okay. We start off with some guys running in Vegas. How do we know they're Vegas? It's some nighttime grainy shots of what could be Las Vegas, but in the credits, the two men are called Vegas Thug 1 and Vegas Thug 2.
Yeah. There's an establishing shot of definitely not Vegas.
It's just a city.
It's just like a regular city.
Stock footage of a city.
And then there's some close-ups with like the neon signs and whatever.
Yeah.
But they're not like the big Vegas ones. So they did not shoot in Vegas.
No, the Welcome to Las Vegas sign does not appear. So I don't know if you have to pay money to shoot that. I don't think you do. I think it's just a sign. I don't know.
Nah. So you have to pay money for the Hollywood sign?
I think you might. Because Hollywood greedy.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. I lived there. I lived, like, less than 10 miles away from the Hollywood sign. Never once went to see it.
I mean, you could just look up and there it is, right?
No. Well, I was in Burbank, which is, like, in the valley. So, like, there's mountains around you. And then it's, like, on one of the mountains, like, to the side. So it wasn't, like, in view everywhere.
It's really dumb, the things that people will go out of their way to look at.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we get some credits. There's alpha stunts and attractive action.
Yeah. And Zro Productions, Zro Studios.
Zro.
It's Zero.
Yeah.
But they didn't hyphenate it. It's just.
No, it's Zero.
Attractive action is abbreviated to AAC on this.
Attractive action. Or attractive action.
Attractive action. Coordinators, maybe?
Productions? Maybe it's
but
one of
the... it's a C. It's AAC.
I had nothing.
I don't know.
Company. The Attractive Action Company.
But Alpha Stunts and Attractive Action did the work.
They did.
This
they
movie.
Did. Also, RIP and peace, half of the stuntmen on this movie, because they gave their lives for fight scenes in this movie.
For extreme heist.
Oh, boy. So, we don't have their names yet, but Johnny, young Bosch, is being chased by these two thugs, and he, like, does a kick on them, and then Jason Narvi, National Treasure Jason Narvi, comes up, and he starts swearing right away, so you know this is not your daddy's Power Rangers movie.
He says, damn it, to, like, ease you in.
Yeah.
I think he might drop an ass.
He drops a couple asses, a lot of hells. Couple S words.
Yeah.
Then he pulls out a cigarette and does a smoke.
This ain't your daddy's Power Rangers.
No. It's like, okay. All right, Shadow the Hedgehog version of Power Rangers.
And he will be smoking or getting a cigarette for the rest
the
of
whole,
this movie.
The whole movie.
I actually don't think any of the cigarettes are ever lit.
I think one is when they're in the house towards the end of the movie.
Okay.
But I think that's the only one. At one point, the girl, like, gets a cigarette out of a pack of cigarettes and doesn't have a lighter. So, beans, can't light it. So we cut from there to the title, Extreme Heist, and then we cut from there to inside a plane somehow.
This is only rated PG-13, and I didn't know you could kill people on camera.
You can make a snuff film of PG-13. They don't say the F word, so.
No, you're right. And they only light up a cigarette one time.
Once. So we got to a plane. We're just in a plane. Hey, we're just in a plane now.
Yeah.
Everybody.
It goes from Vegas, and Johnny Young Bosch kicks some dudes, and then it cuts. I don't know if it faded to a title
it
screen.
It goes to the title screen, then okay. It comes back, and it's in a plane.
It goes back in a plane. And it's a tiny, it's not like a commercial flight.
No.
It's like, it's a skydiving plane.
Yeah, it's a plane you rent at Silver Ranch in Jaffrey, New Hampshire.
Yeah, Jump Town in Orange, Massachusetts.
Yeah. And like.
There's enough room for you, one other person, and a pilot.
Yeah.
And he's fighting a guy in this plane.
Yep.
For a MacBook of diamonds.
I thought it was a computer. It is not. It's a little case.
Until they opened it, I also thought it was a computer.
And so he grabs it.
Okay, but why did this man let him on this plane with him?
Look.
Where's the connective tissue?
They didn't film it. I don't know, Josh. They had a plane and they were going to use it.
I don't want Birdemic. I just want to know Johnny's angle to get into the plane.
Before it cuts to the title, Guile Lydon Jason Darby's character, we'll come to find out his name is Guile Lydon. As we said, it's on the back of the box.
Yeah. Not his last name.
Guile.
You gotta, yeah, that's why you're listening. Find out these these last names.
Guile, surname withheld, is like, go to Billy Ray, Johnny Unbosch's character. And then it comes to the theme. So I think he's like, go into the plane. You know the plan.
Counterpoint. They're getting beat up in Vegas at nighttime, and he's in the plane in daytime.
Look, it's not a good movie.
Took him a long time to get there.
We looked at the credits. I don't remember. I didn't look very hard at the credits. I don't remember seeing a script supervisor, though. No one to go, hey, there's nothing here. There's no the continuity is all weird right here. So he's doing a fight in the plane, kicks a guy into the back of the plane, throws a Joker card at him.
The guy that was flying the plane is no longer flying
the plane. The plane is unpiloted currently. And so he goes, Joker's wild. Or he says, like, it's a tough life. And then the Joker card, written in Sharpie, says, Joker's wild on it. And he grabs a case and he jumps out of the plane.
So is his name Billy Ray Joker Lang?
I don't know. I thought that his name was just going to be Joker. I thought it was going to be Joker and Guile, two small town crooks. But no, it's just that was the Joker card. For the rest of the movie, he will keep, like, writing a thing on a playing card, yeah, and, like, giving it to
that's
someone.
That's his thing.
It.
And yeah. Also, they call him, like, Funny Man, and they always reference how he's making, like, quips and, like, smart-ass remarks. But he doesn't as much as they want us to think he does.
No, it's not. They're there, but it is not with the frequency that you would think in order to get him a reputation for being a jokester. Yeah. So he jumps out of the plane. But he's got a snowboard on, so he's going skyboarding.
Skyboard, that like, X game.
Like Tommy in Power Rangers, the movie. Because if he did it, so can Johnny Unbosch. Also, point of order. He jumps out of a real plane, and it's really Johnny Unbosch skydiving for real.
Yeah.
So, like, definitely a little more impressive than the green screen work they did on Power Rangers. Because I've seen behind the scenes. It's just them on a green screen, a big fan. We see Guile in the truck, He has a truck now. Welcome to his truck.
That's his truck.
That's my favorite running joke. I actually think it's a very good joke. We'll get to it in a minute.
I'm telling you, there's a good movie in here if they had any money to throw at it.
For sure. If they had a little more money, a little more time, maybe another actor or two.
Yeah.
I think all the actors actually did pretty good for what they were given and, like, you know, for, like, what the movie is. I think all the acting is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they hired a bunch of – the only person – there are two people in this movie that I know are just actors, and it's Jason Narvi and Paul Schreier's two-second cameo.
Yeah.
The rest are definitely stuntmen or, in Johnny Unbosch's case, an actor who also is the best at karate.
Right.
So he lands in the back of the truck. Jumps on the front and is like, we're rich. I got the thing. And he's like, get in the car. But before he can get in the truck, in the cab, a Cadillac pulls up. They are in the desert off-roading, and like an actual Cadillac pulls up.
I was very confused, I think. Because at first I was like, because Jason Narvi says, we've got company. And I thought that they were cops, but I think they were actually other criminals. Or...
No, they were criminals.
Yeah, they were... So Guile and Billy Ray steal the diamonds from a guy in a plane.
Yeah, plane guy.
Who had a small case of diamonds.
Yeah.
And so when he landed, these other criminals were, like, tailing them. And it's like, now we're going to double steal the diamonds.
No, I think they're all criminals.
Yes.
They were still, they're all, everybody who is not Guile and Lydon are on the same team. And they're just trying to, they're trying to get the diamonds back.
Guile and Billy Ray double stole the diamonds. They stole the stolen diamonds.
Yes, I think. So they have company. There's a chase and a stunt fight. A lot of this movie is going to go by real quick in terms of talking about it because, like, there's a fight scene. Mm-hmm. There's a chase scene. There's a fighting chase scene. There's not a ton to talk about during those. In this one, they're shooting at him with guns, with real guns, and they're in the he's in the bed of a truck. Then one of the guys from the Cadillac jumps into the bed of the truck with him, and they do a fight there. It's like, it's a fight and a chase. It's exactly what you expect.
He gets kicked out of the truck.
He lands on the Cadillac and does like a backflip while it's driving, and stomps into the windshield so it breaks and he can't see through it. It's unnecessary, but pretty neat.
Yeah. And so then, Guile reaches back and is like, take this fake case that I have.
It's the same exact thing. And then throw it at him. And he, by the time he realizes it, will be long gone.
Yeah.
So he gives it to him.
But wouldn't you know it, on this dusty dirt road, there's just a lot of bumps.
Yep.
And so Billy Ray drops the cases, and then while picking them up, does a magic shuffle, like, oh, follow the ball.
He does a Yu-Gi-Oh shuffle.
Because like, when he dropped them, they did not mingle. Like,
no,
the one in his right hand stayed on the right, yeah. The one in his left hand stayed on the left, and when he picked them up, he juggled them for a second. Like,
and so he makes a judgment call, and he tosses it, and then they... like drive off, and the guy stops because the case is there, and he opens it up and there's a bunch of diamonds in it.
Yeah, we don't actually see the diamonds because they didn't have the budget to put diamonds in there.
No, there's probably some fake diamonds, because I definitely think some fell out when he opened the case.
Oh, maybe.
It looked a little bit like it, and he's like, good, and then drove away.
But you can just tell by his face, he's like, oh yeah,
got him. So then we cut to them parked on the side of the road. The truck is dead. It's done for. And he's like, it's all right, I'll buy a new one. We're going to be so rich with diamonds. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe.
And so Guile then picks the lock of the case. The other one just opened right up, but presumably he had the combination.
I guess. I don't know.
So he picks the thing, opens it up, and there's a sock in it.
He had to pick his own fake case open.
Yep.
I guess, though, he wasn't like, I will make sure this is the fake case first.
Yeah.
Like,
but so then, yeah, there's just a dirty sock. And he's like, hey, I made an honest mistake. They start yelling at each other. He's like, I made an honest mistake. He's like, honest, we're crooks. Which is kind of funny.
My name is Guile.
My name is Lie.
Lie Lyden.
He's like, oh, there's always tomorrow. Look on the bright side. He's like, what bright side? He's like, this nearest town's 5 miles away. It could be 50 miles away. Keep that in your pocket. So then we cut to...
Keep it in your pocket for one fucking hour.
For an hour. It's a strange callback from someone who was not present in the call forward. It's fine. So we cut to later at nighttime. They are at a place. They're at a warehouse. And they decide to steal a car. This starts the running joke of Guile going, oh, hey, this is my car.
Oh, here's my car.
Here's my car. And then they go, this is your car. Oh, yeah, where's your keys? And he pulls out the like a metal thing that you slip under the window so you can unlock the car. And he's whistling very loud and spinning it around like a magician. It's a very unstealthy way to steal a car. But there's also people surveilling them. There's a guy and a woman.
Yeah, we get like a night vision goggle shot of them loudly stealing a car.
There's also, speaking of shots.
There's a lot of them.
There's plenty of shots in this movie. If you like a shot, oh, there's so many in this movie. You're going to love it. There's a lot of shots where there's like this weird vignetting on the side. Like it's through like a nanny cam
lens. It's a nanny cam.
I don't know, but like during the same scene, it will be like nanny cam circle shot and then cut to a regular camera shot.
They're very inconsistent with it because sometimes it's like, this is a first person shot. And other times it's, no, it's not.
Sometimes like, this is just like,
it's just, we needed a shot from this angle, but we couldn't fit a camera guy there.
Yeah, so
we
have a little
just
one.
Propped up a tiny little nanny cam.
Yeah, I guess. Like, I don't know what else it could be. But it's 2002, so like if it was a real nanny cam, it'd be in black and white and fuzzy. It's like some weird lens that they put on it.
One camera guy just couldn't move his damn finger out of the way. And it just was a circle around the lens.
He's just holding it. We held very still at least, so that was nice. Billy's looking around while Guile goes to steal the car. And he sees a laptop. And they think, we're criminals. Let's steal the laptop.
Yeah, because while Guile is stealing the car, Billy Ray just like checks out the warehouse and he's like, hey, man, somebody went through a lot of trouble to make this look like it's abandoned.
Yeah. So they go in and Guile starts doing a hack. We cut to the car doing the surveillance. The girl says something about how they're going to ruin it or whatever. I don't remember what she says. We cut back in. He's just going crazy, typing on the keyboard, and he found out that someone using this laptop hacked all the banks. And he's been stealing money from the banks.
Yeah, I guess it's just running the money app.
Yeah, it's
the,
running...
The bank thief app?
Steal.exe.
Extreme.heist.
And they're pulling an extreme heist on these banks. And apparently that it's real easy to get the money from banks. They're like, they've been just making transfers.
Guile says so much nonsense
garbage
right here. Yeah. He's like, yeah, they're funneling from the banks into Swiss bank accounts. And then he's like, yeah, they went through so much trouble to get all these access codes, like the thousands of hours they had to pour into it. And he's like, and you have to blackmail a banker to get a code.
That's the one thing about bank crimes you gotta know. You gotta do a blackmail.
No. If you blackmail them, you just, boom, you get all that money.
You get the codes. And when you have the, once you have the codes, then you get the khakis, then you get the chicks.
That's right. You need to get the codes to get the khakis.
Then you get the chicks. So they have the codes, apparently, and they're stealing this money. And then someone comes in and they hide, and Billy Ray does a Ninja Turtles. This will not be his first Ninja Turtle maneuver in this movie, but he does like a Michelangelo like backspin to get off of the countertop so they can hide. Guy comes in. His name's Santiago. We'll learn that in a minute. He hides something in a safe.
I don't think he ever opens it, because he comes into the room and he ducks down and he moves a sheet and there's a safe and he starts to like turn the dial, but then
Big Cass
comes in and is like, "How you doing?
How you doing?" and he's like, "I'm doing fine, Big Cass." Big Cass's name is Michael. Michael. I looked up the IMDb because he's one of the few people you can like go. Well, I mean, you can go to a lot of the people and there's a lot of stunt work, but I looked at his. This dude is like a prompts master and an art, like in the art department on like everything. He's done so much. Good for Big Cass.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
Yeah. But he looks just like Big Cass, the pro wrestler. So Santiago's nervous and then they leave. He's like, yeah, someone's going to catch us. We can't keep doing this.
Yeah, because when Michael comes in, he immediately, like, pops up, like, stops fussing with the safe.
Yeah.
And just, like, pretends that he's typing, which is another thing that will happen again if someone is like, we're about to get caught. Pretend we're typing.
Just pretend you're typing. So then he's like, all right, let's go. So they walk out, and then they, Billy Ray's like, he pulls out a stethoscope that he's got on him, and he starts cracking the safe.
Well, yeah, he's a crook.
He's a crook. They're crooks. You got to carry, like, look, Guile's got his key, his car key.
His car key. His skeleton car key.
Billy Ray's got a stethoscope that he will never use again. So he starts cracking the safe, and then we, like, Guile goes to the door and opens it, and this guy who I only have in my notes has bad hair, because he's got some bad hair, is like, he's like the middle management of this criminal operation.
He's Michael's, like, thug.
Like, head thug.
Yeah.
He's like the CSM of thugs, right? Because he's like, hey, make your rounds. I told you to make your rounds. So he like leaves. And then the safe gets cracked and there's a damn book in there. And I call it the damn book because they refer to it almost exclusively as the damn book. He's like, there's a damn book. Give me the damn book. We got the damn book.
I got your damn book.
They said later, I got your damn book. It's just like, okay, I get that you can cuss now. But, like, you sound like children who like are like, we can cuss if our parents aren't around and they'll never know.
Damn. So
they did it on South Park. Damn. Bastard. there's a lot of, like, Shadow the Hedgehog cussing in this movie, and I kind of love it. Maybe it's my favorite joke right now is Shadow the Hedgehog cussing. Which is just out of place because you can cussing.
Right.
So
that's what the fans want.
Because they want that. This dark, gritty hedgehog who's like, I'm not taking no piss from nobody.
I'm going to shoot you with these bullets. Damn. I'm going to shoot your ass.
Did he also have a car in that video game?
I think he has a motorcycle.
Well, of course he's got a motorcycle.
He's not going to just drive a car.
I'm Shadow the Hedgehog.
The Shadow Rari. He's got that Shadow Davidson.
So they get caught by Bad Hair. Billy starts fighting Bad Hair while Guile's doing a hack using the codes from the damn book. And I want to point out that the codes work. Just putting that out there right now. The codes from the damn book work. Just keep that in mind for later on. While he's doing it, he takes the $3 million they stole from the bank and puts it in their account. Or like his account. Or their joint account. Their joint criminal enterprise account. Right? So now they got $3 million. And they're going to take that money and be rich now. Cool. Isn't it funny how they lost millions of dollars with the diamonds and immediately found $3 million lying around?
They stole some diamonds from a plane and skydove into a desert and then ran away from who I'm presuming is the previous stealers of the diamonds.
Yeah, or it was their diamonds they were transporting it, maybe, but like it definitely feels like they were just other criminals.
And so they tossed the diamonds back at the bad guys.
Yeah, oops, oops, all berries.
And they wind up basically at a compound that is also full of crooks. This, I want the Extreme Heist cinematic universe where we get all of these crooks
tied all together.
Stories.
Yeah. How did they get this money? How did they get those diamonds? Who are they working for? Follow the money. So they go to leave because they beat up a guy who definitely knows they're there and they stole a damn book and a bunch of money. And then a bunch of people see them, like 12 guys are like, hey, you can't be here stealing money. So they leave. They hop in the car that is Guile's new car.
Yep.
And they drive away. So as they're chasing, the music playing is one note away from Hulk Hogan's Real American theme song. It's like da-na-na-da-da-na-na-da. It's like tries to be, but then it like stops and it just completely disappears. So they leave. Big Cass is not happy. So he pulls out Santiago. He's like, what happened? He's like, I don't know. They got the damn book.
And then Mike's like, where's my damn car?
And the car got stolen.
That was Mike's car, but now it's Guile's
car. Now it's Guile's car. But then some of the other thugs pull up, like they like walk up with a guy, and they're like, what are you doing out here? And he's like, I was just walking my dog.
Oh, the guy was the guy from the car earlier.
Yeah.
I don't know if we talked, because she was like, they're going to mess up my stakeout. Go see what's going on.
Oh, did she tell him? I didn't hear that part.
She did send him out to like see what was going on.
Okay, and he's like, I was walking my dog and he got away from me. And they're like, yeah?
They're like in the middle of the desert.
I mean, they might be in town now, but like they're still in like the abandoned warehouse district of this town.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, he got away. He answers to Molly. And they're like, didn't you say your dog was a guy?
Mike's like, you're a bad liar. You said it was a he. And then shoots him in the sternum.
He's like, did I? And Sean's like, you can name your boy dog Molly.
Yeah.
My boy cat's name was Sally. Like, for real in real life. So, like, don't judge. Don't shoot this guy's balls because of what he named his dog.
Because he named his dog Molly.
Come on, Big Cass. You jerk. So then we cut to a diner and the first shot of this diner is there's two plates of food and the guy grabs the guy behind the counter, who is super 100% Paul Schreier, grabs it, puts his thumbs in the beans.
Just like smushes those beans.
All the way up in there. And then gives it to them and like flicks his thumbs off because he's got bean slop on it. And they're like living it up. They're living the high life because they now have $1.5 million each.
Because this is supposed to be him like taking it from the kitchen and giving it to them. But I think because of where they had to put the camera.
It's a bar and there's not an actual kitchen there.
Yeah, he moves it from one side of the counter to them.
It's like he stole it from someone else.
It's like someone else is like, I'm not eating this. And he was like, fine, they are now.
Here's your food.
I made these two plates of food today and somebody's going to eat these.
Or else. So then the girl comes in and she's like, oh, I'm in a barn. I got to get a little sexy. So she takes her jacket off.
Partner was just murdered.
Yeah.
Like, she watched that happen.
Watched him die in front of her. She's like, well, I better follow these two idiots. So she takes her jacket off, and she's, like, showing some shoulder now. And she's in, like, heels and like, tights. So it's, like, weird stakeout attire. Maybe you just had them. Maybe. No, she does change into regular pants later. So maybe she just, like, had some sexy clothes for, you know.
In case she needed to go to a bar.
When you got tricks and boys. So she goes up. And she's like, hey, that's food poison waiting to happen.
Someone outside is barfing.
And it looks just like that beans. And and they're like, oh. And they stop. Narvi has a bean in his mouth and, like, puts it back on the fork out of his mouth and puts it down. It's very good. And then he goes to the guy, to Paul Schreier, and he goes, hey, that's supposed to be Mom's Home Cooking. And Paul Schreier goes, yeah, I'm Mom. His character's name on IMDb is Mom.
Oh, nice.
That's Mom.
That's Mom. That's Mom. His home cooking.
That's his cooking. It's going to make you puke. So they're like, never mind. Cool. And then she's going like, hey, I've been in 3 bars tonight. And every single bar I was in, there were thugs there saying they wanted to beat up 2 guys that look like you 2. By the way, Jason Darby's hair is bleached. So there's that. Because 2002. Guess who also had bleached hair in 2002? This boy. That's right.
I never bleached my hair.
It's a face. It's
a face. I never dyed my hair.
I only bleached it technically twice, because the first time we bleached it, it turned bright orange when it got wet. I was like, let's do one more round. So we did one more round. Then it was like super bleach blonde, because I was into Buffy and Spike had bleached hair. So,
of course. And your hero Hulk Hogan at the time.
Yeah. Well, no, by then I was off the Hulk Hogan
train. It was Sting. He had just dyed it black.
Well, no, it's 2002. Sting would have been out of a job. Right, you're right. Because they went under in 2001.
That's TNA champion Sting.
I don't think he was in TNA yet. No. I think he was in WWA, World Wrestling All-Stars in Australia, which I watched on pay-per-view a couple times. Eddie Guerrero was also in that. Pretty good shows. It was basically just the people who didn't get hired by WWE. And Eddie Guerrero, who had been fired by the WWF at that point before he came back. Anyway, so then the thugs come in. As they're doing that, Billy Ray's like, I don't trust her. We got to go. So he gets up to go, like, wait at the jukebox for a minute for Guile to, like, disengage. And he, like, just scooches closer and is like, oh, he's an adrenaline junkie. I'm a sensitive type. I like to do kisses.
A lot of awkward volunteering of information. Because they're just sitting there trying to eat. And she's like, some thugs are at all the other bars I've been to.
If, like, she's lying, right, obviously?
Yeah.
But let's pretend she wasn't for a second. This woman's just going around to different bars, and every time she gets to a new bar, there's just a bunch of thugs there, like, ah, we want to beat up a blonde dude, and the guy who looks like he kicks ass. And she's like, I better go to a different bar. And then on her 4th bar, she sees these 2 dudes. She's like, ah.
A blonde and a guy who looks like he kicks ass.
There's some thugs that want to beat you up. They want to punch you in the neck. So then there's the thugs come in. There's a fight. It's a brief fight because they, like, they just get knocked over and then they run out. The guy's like, I insist she comes with me, with us. So they pull her along with them. When they leave to go to the car, Billy Ray is out last and he leaves and he does a giant spin kick to close the door.
Yep.
Which seems like a grievous waste of energy.
You gotta really close it tight.
It's not opening.
No.
Not after that spin kick.
No, it's been spin kicked.
No. So we come back to the warehouse and Big Cass is chewing Santiago out. Santiago looks a little, he doesn't really look like Vipra, but he sounds exactly like Vipra. Like he does like a, like, how was I supposed to know? Like he does like a weird, you know, line read. And so like maybe this is Vipro or Gypra. Depending on which one you want to do. He's like something, something, bank stealing, keep your mouth shut, cops. I don't know. All the regular stuff. And he's like, Sonny, I was like, we had a deal. He's like, deal's off. And it shoots him.
He broke his neck.
He broke his neck?
Yeah, he necked him.
Oh, dang. Broke his neck. That's harsh.
Yeah, just.
Damn, Big Cass.
It's cold-blooded.
Then he throws the card that they left last time they were here, which is like a 2, and it said, like, butts up or whatever. I don't know. They go through so many 2s in this. They throw a lot of 2s around. They started with the Jokers, went to the 2s. I don't think they ever got out of the 2s properly. I would have liked to have seen 53 discrete, here's a card with a funny joke on it. So they frame the voice. We cut back to the motel where they are like hiding out. They got 2 different rooms. One has 2 beds. One is a closet. I don't remember where Billy goes. They're questioning Kim. She like goes to change. She like takes her shirt off and like pokes out. She's in her bra, and they get like modest all of a sudden and like turn around.
Oh yeah, because they're just little kids.
They act exactly because she goes.
They're just little kids hanging out saying damn when their parents yeah. aren't listening.
This is like I know who directed this. I don't think anyone wrote it. Yeah. and so she like walks back in, then she's like that teenager thing, like, oh, she's her brother. Like
dude, did you almost see those boobs?
It's like, you're adult men. Come on.
It's weird because it's like it's PG-13, but this is trying to be like this is a thief crook movie.
Yeah, this is a hard grown ups, but like criminals.
But like, oh dude, did you see those boobs?
Boobs.
Boobs came out, man.
She changed into something more comfortable. Pants. Like, and a t-shirt. Like, she actually just changed into something more comfortable, which is very nice. She comes out and she's like, I'm also a crook. And Big Cass is an idiot. He's just a middleman. Like, he's working for someone else because that dummy wouldn't be able to put this together himself. And then they say something about the codes and how, like, if they use the codes, the feds will be on them, like seagulls on fish guts, like just right away. Yeah. But she knows a guy that will buy the codes for $15 million. And it'll take 24 hours to set up this rendezvous. And Billy's like, cool, we can deal with you for another day. I'm going to go to sleep. Don't trust her. And he takes the damn book and he puts it in his pocket. And he leaves. And then she's like, she like sidles up next to Guile and is like, I'm not tired yet. And then Josh, what did you say?
I said... Is Skull gonna fuck?
It looks like Skull might
fuck. And I don't know what happens.
Apparently that was never the plan. He gets a little nervous. And he's like, let me go pee.
Yeah, because he's never fucked before.
No, he's a teenager.
He's like 14.
He's like a 40-teen year.
And he like awkwardly walks to the bathroom and like goes in and pokes back out. And then like is all coy and like goes back in. And then when he comes out, they leave. They, like, go out for a night on the town or something.
Yeah, she tries to call someone, and they don't pick up. So, like, he comes out, and they're like, all right, let's go. So they go out for a night on the town, which is to a garage somewhere where 55 thugs, including Bad Hair, are there. And one of them shoots Guile in the arm.
I guess. They all surround them. And we cut away to just, like, an establishing shot. We hear the gunshots that wake up Billy Ray. And he's like, oh, no, Guile's getting shot.
Guile definitely got shot.
He's right. He found him in a kitchen or something?
I think it's, like, the other side of the motel room is, like, a little kitchenette area.
Maybe. He got shot in the, just below the shoulder.
Yeah, and so she's cleaning him up. He's like, let's go. We gotta go now. So they get
the 50 thugs shot Guile in the arm a couple times, and then they all ran away?
I think what happened, and this is not, like, what you said is exactly what we saw. Like,
yeah.
Like, we heard a gunshot, and that woke up Billy, but it seems like that happened before, and then Billy was like, Guile's back and was shot, I can feel it, like, and leaves to go find him. Like, it's not connected in any way. But then, so he goes, they go to leave, and then we cut to them driving. Guile's passed out in the back seat, and Kim and Billy are talking about, like, the codes, and we'll get money, and then we'll never see each other again, blah, blah, blah. I don't remember what they say. It doesn't matter. It's not important. Then they run out of gas. Apparently the gas gauge was sticky, said they were full, they were not, they were empty. There's a gas station about a mile and a half back, so he's going to go get some gas. So he leaves to go get the gas. We cut to him walking, and he's like, oh, it's hot out here. And he's wearing a giant heavy coat.
He's got so many layers on.
He's got a lot of layers. It's 2002, so we're still like, what does 2002 look like? Like, because it's not the millennium anymore, so we can't get away with shiny silver. So, like, what do? It's just a big coat, I guess, is the new plan. It's a stunt coat. It's so, like, he can land on the ground, and he's got padding in his big coat, like, pretty much. But we see Big Cass drive by in a truck or an SUV or something. And we cut back to Kim, and she's, like, tries to get a cigarette, but she doesn't have a lighter. So she goes in to, like, use the dashboard lighter, whatever that's called. And Guile wakes up, and he, like, stumbles into the front seat, and they talk a little bit more. And they're about to do a smooch. They're, like...
Their lips touch just faintly.
There's about to be a smooch.
Yeah. And then Mike just rips Guile out of the car window by his hair.
I don't think it's Michael. I think it's Bad Hair.
Oh, it might be Bad Hair.
But there's like a gunshot sound happens, so it looks like he reached in and shot Guile in the back of the head.
Which and also would have shot Kim in the front of her head.
In the front of the head. Neither of those things happened. He just pulled him real loud. They start getting beaten up by the thugs. As Billy's coming up, he's like, oh, and he like goes to like, he's about to like run towards them. But then a car, a red Honda Civic, which will be in the rest of the movie, it's a lot of action, just like jumps over a banking and like almost hits Johnny Young Bosch's real body.
Yeah, he barely got out of the way of that thing.
And then like he drops the gas cans, which had nothing in them. They tumble away like tumble.
They like bounce down the hill.
And then two cars beat up Billy. Because then Big Cash shows up in his SUV. And now there's like this whole big fight. So like turns out Kim knows karate. Natch. She, by the way, Kim is played by Motoko Nagino. And she is the stunt double for the yellow SPD, the yellow Dino Thunder, and the blue Ninja Storm Rangers. So, like, when we watch those shows, that's Kim from Extreme Heist.
Yeah, she's in the suit.
Yeah. She also did some work on Magiranger. She's in Broken Path, another movie, I think, directed by Koichi Sakamoto, starring Johnny Young Bosch and Dan Southworth from Time Force. So maybe we'll watch that next season.
Oh, maybe.
Because like, I feel like that would be pretty good to watch. But yeah, she's done a ton. She's done a ton of stunts. So like, she's good.
Yeah.
Good casting. Her acting's not like super great, but it's not bad. It's no worse than Viper, I would say.
I think she had to record a lot of her lines over again.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even those, like, because she's Japanese. So like, a lot of the stunt team are the stunt team from Power Rangers, and they just brought a bunch of Japanese people over that worked on the Super Sentai show because, like, acting in the suits, like, to convey, like, emotion and stuff is, like, a very specific skill, and they already had it. So it's like, yeah, come on over. So, like, whenever you see, like, a bunch of stunt guys, like, about to get hit by a car in Power Rangers, it's always, like, the same five guys.
Yeah.
It's always the stunt team. But, and, like, she is one of them, apparently. Like, obviously, she does, like, stunts for the Yellow Ranger stuff. Also, she's in a couple episodes of SPD. I don't know if you see her face or not, but she's not, it's not like she's like the stunt double, but like she's an actress in a couple of the episodes. So I don't know what.
Oh,
I'm excited for that. But yeah, I think her lines probably were overdubbed a couple times. Plus they're outside, which is loud.
They're outside a lot.
So there's that. So then we go to what I am calling Stunt Town. By the way, Billy gives Guile the damn book and he's like, you guys run, I'll distract the 95 armed men, because they all pull out guns and start shooting poorly at him. So they run, we go to Stunt Town, which is like this barn that a car crashes through, and there's like hay bales and a whole bunch of stuff, and it's a big fight. It's just a big old fight, and then one dude has loose dynamite that he starts throwing around.
He keeps it in his shirt pocket. He's got like a blue flannel on.
Yeah.
He's got dynamite just in his pocket, and he's lighting it and throwing it at Billy Ray.
Which is wild. And then he throws one at Billy Ray as the car's about to hit him. Billy does a jump kick, like a spin kick, kicks the dynamite back, and it lands at that guy's feet. Blows him up over the car.
Yep.
It's wild. This movie's a lot of things, but lacking stunts is not one of them.
And the stunt coordination in this is very good.
And these guys give it their all.
They put everything they have into this.
There's a fight scene later where no less than six men had to have walked away with actual bodily trauma from stunts. Like, they went a little too hard. Big Cass comes up upon Billy Ray, and turns out he's a karate master as well, and beats the piss out of Billy Ray.
Yeah, he's sturdier, I guess. He's able to catch Billy Ray's kicks, which no one else on the team could do.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah, he is very big. He doesn't do a lot of actual karate. It's mostly just some punches and just throwing Billy Ray around.
He does that thing where, like, he puts one hand behind his back and, like, Zen focuses to karate better at, like, but just to, like, block, like, kicks. And, like, it's good. I liked it. But then Billy Ray gets away and Guile follows him.
There's a couple times where they had to have had Johnny Yong Bosch like on a line or something.
Oh yeah,
because he gets hit and just goes defies gravity, flying backwards.
There's one where he gets kicked in the front and flies backwards, like
into a car, right?
Into a car, like 10 feet.
It's
but
very far. There's one where Michael has him up and
Michael is Big Cass.
he has Billy Ray up and almost Atomic drops him, but basically just boots him in the ass, and Billy goes flying forward another 10 feet.
There's one time where he flips him upside down and kicks him in the chest mid flip, and it's slick and he goes flying, and I don't know where they could have put. That's the other thing, is the other reason you wear big coats is because you can hide the wires with it.
Yeah.
So that's probably another reason why. But he gets away and he comes up to a cliff, and Guile drives by. He's like, jump. And Billy's like, jump? Like, what? So he throws a playing card at Big Cass and starts running down the mountain, and then gets to a point where he can jump. And he jumps and Assassin's Creed's his way about 900 feet down a cliff into the hay in the back of a truck, because they stole a truck earlier. He's like, hey, it's my truck.
That's my truck.
And he lands, and he would be super duper dead. But, it's fake, so he's fine. The card says, better luck next time. So I don't know. I thought at this point, I was like, is he really quickly writing these before so he can give him the best burn?
Oh, don't worry. We'll see how he comes up with these ideas.
So I don't know when that is. I don't remember that.
Oh, there's a scene later where he's in a car, and he's like, what should I write on this one? And that's when he writes the last one.
Okay. So they drive. We cut from the better luck next time on Big Cass to a man and a woman tied to a toilet.
Yeah, they're just tied up in their bathroom.
In their bathroom, in their undies. Now you might think, oh, the criminals did this.
Well, you wouldn't be wrong.
Technically correct. It was, Guile and Billy Ray who kidnapped people and imprisoned them in their own home, which is a very different crime than stealing.
It's a lot darker than anything they've done so far.
The husband is Ed Neal. That's right. The voice of Lord Zedd is in his undies like Eustace from Courage the Cowardly Dog. And just tied to a toilet, which I guess if you're going to be tied up one place in the house, that's the best place to do it.
Could be worse.
So Billy's doing some weird karate dance moves.
He's just doing a lot of spins and kicks to shut fridges
and ducks
and hip bumping drawers.
He opens the freezer, closes it, ducks it while he's opening the fridge. I don't know how it happened.
Yeah, I don't know. He's just he's just being slick in the kitchen.
Yeah, he's just doing slick kitchen stunts. And so he gets there, he sits down, and he says, I forget what he says, he's like, cornflakes, and he's got a beer, I guess he's gonna make Beerios, but with cornflakes instead.
I would say he just eats the cornflakes out of the box. That lovely couple's cornflakes.
And a beer! And they're just tied up in their bathroom, and guess what? We never get a resolution. I'm pretty sure they're just someone will find it, and they leave. So we cut over to Kim, who does not have pants on. She's wearing a shirt, no pants, because this movie's for adults.
Yeah, but also, did you see her butt?
You almost see a little bit of her panties. You don't. You see her legs. I don't know. They're just trying to be titillating, I guess, because, again, they're 14-year-olds. So she calls her cop. She calls her cop. She calls her boss, who is a fed. She's in the FBI. And she's like, why haven't you, I got the book, et cetera, et cetera. Why haven't you put any other agents on this? And he's like, resources, and there's a problem with dirty cops.
Yeah, dirty cops!
And, the way he says it, you're like, oh, you're the dirty cop.
Yeah.
Obviously. Not even a question. This guy's the dirty
cop.
He's
just, sitting in his FBI black office. She calls and he answers the phone. He's shuffling a file. He's not doing anything.
This is my personal number.
Yeah. He's because she's like, hey, it's Kim. And he's like, well, yeah, no duh. No one else has this number, Kim.
It's got to be Kim. You have a whole phone when you only give Kim the number?
I mean, yeah, it's your personal... First of all, you gave her your personal phone number.
In your office? That's not your personal phone. That's your work phone.
What an idiot.
I hate this guy. I hate Christopher. He played Korean Elvis in one episode of How I Met Your Mother, because I looked up his IMDb.
Small world.
What a time to be alive. He has also been in a million things, so, like, good for him. He's a working actor. They're like, yeah. He's like, yeah, get the money, or get the book, and, like, we'll do the you missed the rendezvous. He's like, well, this sucks, blah, blah, blah. He's like, all right, well, if they give you any trouble, kill those two crooks. And she's like, what? And he's like, yeah, shoot them. And she's like, okay. And, like, clearly she's like, all right, something might be up, but maybe not, because I'm going to get tricked later. So then Billy overheard some of this, not like a lot of it, but like he heard her talking on the phone.
Yeah, he heard her say, like, I'll report back later.
Yeah.
Which is not something you say on a casual phone conversation.
No, and criminals don't do a lot of reporting, I don't think. So.
And they make it look, she pulls her badge out of her nightshirt.
Yeah.
It like flips it open and looks at her identification. And the way the camera goes from that to Billy is like he saw her FBI card.
Yeah.
But there's no way he did.
No, and he doesn't bring it up at all. He's not like, you're a Fed. So then she goes to do something with the laptop. The guy, like one of this couple has a laptop, and she's just like, I'm going to use it to do some hacks. And she goes to check the damn book, and the damn book's a fake.
Now?
It's a fake damn book. Yeah. Remember earlier when it worked?
Maybe that was a fake damn computer, and they got a fake $3 million because Guile comes in and she's like, this book is a fake. And he's like, what do you mean? Is the money in our account? And she goes, oh yeah, $352.
Yep.
Welcome back to the working class. So maybe they never really transferred the money.
They left the laptop open.
They did leave their account laptop in the compound. So,
yeah.
So they were like, we'll just take the $3 million. We'll leave them what they had.
Yeah. So as she is like looking to do like, oh yeah, your money's still in here. She's like looking it up. They do this like Billy crosses himself and Guile pulls out a lucky rabbit's foot and Billy kisses it. It's like this one shot real quick joke. That's like pretty funny. So then he's like, yeah, I got today's paper and we got set up because Santiago dead. And there's like the calling card that they left. And there's also their names.
Our names, because we left our bank account open.
Yeah. Guys, and you have a joint criminal bank account, I guess? So they got set up. And then they're like, okay, this is the only thing that was in the floor safe. And she's like, floor safe? That doesn't make any sense. While I was casing the place.
You know how when you go into a place and they have like a freestanding safe on the floor?
Yeah.
And you go, oh, they have a floor safe here.
A wall safe. Ceiling safe, kitchen safe, bathroom safe.
But yeah, she does say, well, no, my partner said it was kept in a wall safe.
And they're like, oh, a wall safe. And Guile's like, that place has got to be crawling like head to toe with them looking for the book if they think it's a fake. Which, why would they think it's a fake? Why would they chase you if they know the book is a fake?
I don't know what happened. We're missing a scene somewhere.
No. They just decided that this is how the movie ends, and they're like, whatever, it's a fake book now. Even though it worked earlier, like we watched it happen. Anyway, not the point. It's not a wonderful movie. It's not a perfect movie, I guess.
No, but it could be good.
I think it's pretty fun. I mean, there's a lot of points.
It's a fun movie the way it is now, but it could be a good movie.
Yeah, maybe with a little more money and maybe one other woman in the movie, because there's only the two, and one of them has zero lines because she's tied to a toilet.
Yeah.
But I mean, other than that, like, and again, like, it's, you know, it's a low budget movie. Like, it's a low budget karate movie made by people who thought that they were making a cool movie. Like, it's pretty fun. So they go, they're like, this, it's going to be locked up tighter than Fort Knox. And so Billy's like, so when are we going? And he's like, oh, tonight.
Yeah, right now. Get your shoes on.
So we cut to the warehouse. They get code names. She's Red Scorpion. Billy is Blue Fox.
Guile is Gray Snake.
Gray Snake. I could not remember the last one.
They wanted to be Silver Snake, but it's copyrighted.
Yeah, well, they said like you're
Big Nickel, bring the hammer down.
Oh, Mr. Odeon is on your ass. Koichi, you can't just call something the Silver Snake.
That's Nick Senior.
That's
I didn't know if that one was gonna reach. Took a second when it got there.
Do you remember the commercials for the Nickel Ozone with the little talking TV mouth?
Yes.
That's Nick Senior.
Yeah.
And face is Nick Jr.
Yeah, your TV is a face.
Nick Face Jr. So they sneak around. I feel really bad for Bad Hair in this movie, in this scene at least, because he is just like clearly the most middle management guy here.
Yeah, and every time he shows up, it's only to get his ass kicked.
He's just going to get beat up by Billy. And also, before he does that, he's always going to be like, hey, it's not your break time. You can't go on break yet. Why aren't you doing your rounds? It's your job. Like, it's just like, oh, this poor guy. Like, he's just trying his best, but he's got bad hair and he's a criminal, so it's not going so well for him. So at some point, they all split up. Billy and Kim bump into each other and they fight for a second. And he's like, ah, hey, like, don't sneak up on me. She's like, you don't sneak up on me, all that. But he stole her phone. Can I tell you what my favorite part in the movie is?
Is this one right here?
It's the phone call that Billy Ray makes. Because he just, like, dials the last number.
Yeah,
right?
I guess there's a FBI head director speed dial on there.
I honestly think he just goes, like, dial the last number. Because she called it earlier that day. And he knew she called someone. So he's just, like, redial. Right? Basically. So he answers. He's like, Kim, did you get the book yet? Did you get the damn book yet? And then Billy's like...
Well, for a minute, he doesn't say anything. And then the FBI guy... Christopher is like, who is this?
And then Billy Ray goes, whoa, dude, did you order a pizza from Mario's Pizza Paradise? a pineapple and anchovy and something else pizza? And he's like, who is this? How did you get this number? He's like, I gotta find out who ordered this pizza or else Mario's gonna make me eat it. And anchovies give me gas. I'm 14.
The voice that he does is like
100% a Ninja Turtle.
It is Archer Farms Michelangelo.
Yes.
It's like store brand, but it's that good store brand.
It's that good store brand. It, like, honestly, John Young Bosch is a voice actor. At this point, he had been a voice actor for a while, and he, like, still is. Like, he's, like, a prolific voice actor.
He does Brock in Generations.
He does Artemis in...
Or maybe Origins. He does Brock in Origins.
Yeah. He does Artemis, the cat, in Sailor Moon. I don't know if he does it in Crystal or in the new VizDub of the old show. But he's Artemis. He should be a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah.
Hey, they keep making new Ninja Turtles things. Maybe one of those times you should give it... Here's what you do. Ninja Turtles Generations. Old Man Mikey. Played by Johnny Young Bosch.
Yep, I'm in.
Thank you. We'll take our money now. So he hangs up, and Big Cass runs into Guile and Kim, and he has 100 thugs with him. And they just kick the shit out of Guile and Kim, like, a lot.
Yeah.
Like, even Bad Hair gets in a lot of good ones, like, because he's been beat up this whole movie, so he's, like, done with it.
Because Kim is a good fighter. She's not as quick or crisp as Johnny Young Bosch, but, like, only Jackie Chan and Jet Li can keep up, I think.
Yeah, and Dan Southworth, as you will see.
Yeah, I haven't seen him yet.
Oh, he's so nice. It's like
Johnny Young Bosch could be, like, the next great action movie star.
100%. And maybe when The Order comes out, he will be.
Yeah, if he was in some better movies, he would have been a much bigger name.
I think the problem is, no one's making Kung Fu movies anymore, at least not in America.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, there's still, like, a lot of, like, really good Chinese action movies and presumably Japanese action movies. I haven't really seen a bunch. And, like, Korean movies are all over the place. Their action movies are just wild, like, absolutely bonkers. But, well, like,
kind of everything that comes out over there.
Yeah. Korea's a real, it's very cool because of how weird they get. Like, they're like Japan in that sense, but, like, a little different. They're like, like Japan is like big city weird, Korea's like hometown weird, if that makes sense, from everything that I've seen from it, and I kind of love that. But like, if we were still making like action movies like that, like karate action movies, Johnny Young Bosch would take it. Like, he would be a huge in another universe. There's like a chase fight because Michael has the real book and he's like, I had the real book the whole time.
I killed Santiago because he didn't know I had it.
Too bad I had to kill him because of that. And I'm like, hey, big ass, what? Why?
I don't know. Why did one of the codes in the fake book work?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
But he opens it. When they first get the book, Guile flips it open. He's like, it's bank codes. But it's literally the most, like, beautiful mind page full of numbers.
It's just, like, seven. It's just, like, here's a bunch of numbers and letters in, like, a row. And it's like, how do you know
it's that's a cipher.
Anything? Like, it's like the Zodiac killer. So he's like, yeah, the real book's right here. And he hands it to a thug behind him. He's like, hold this. And the thug's like, you got it, boss. And then he takes a step forward, and then the camera like does a little like whoop up under the
it's like a hat pulled down
under the brim of his hat, and it's Billy Ray, who trips him, does like a spin kick trip, and then he's like, let's go. And so they run. There's like a chase fight. He gives the book, or he doesn't give the book away. They split up. So he gets out. I don't really remember. He does a fight, and then he gets out. And then we cut to Kim and Guile, and they are trying to leave, and there's, like, a door closing, like a big garage door closing. And so they grab it and, like, hold it open, and Guile's like, go! And she's like, you're never going to be able to hold it by yourself. So he, like, grabs a pulley and, like, holds it up by that, like, using simple machines, so it's more effective. And he's like, go! And, like, there's like a fake out kiss, and he just ends up tossing her under.
Yeah, she runs up to him, and he like pulls her in, and then barrel rolls her under the door. Yeah.
And then he drops it as like 100 men swarm on him, and then it like shuts, and he holds it shut with his foot so they can't open it. But they don't care about opening it. They just want to beat him up.
They just beat the snot out of him.
So after he sacrifices himself, she's like running. We cut back to a different warehouse where she meets up with Billy. And she tells him the truth, like, I'm an FBI agent, I was on this case, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, she gives him a gun? Or is that later?
That might be now.
I think that's later. Like, yeah, that's later.
Yeah, because she does, we have to go back and get him. And he's like, I thought you were going to arrest me. Like, and at some point, he gives her her phone back.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I kind of thought you were. Here's your phone.
Right. And she's like, I thought you were going to arrest me. And she's like, you don't know me very well.
And her phone is like obviously like a super top secret spy satellite phone. It's this like Tiger Electronics, all these extra buttons, clear plastic phone.
It's like a flip phone from 2002, but what they thought a flip phone from 2008 would look like.
Yeah, it's like what 2002 thought the future of phones was going to be.
Yeah, they had no idea. It was going to be glass bricks.
Yeah.
We cut to Guile just being tortured, just being super wicked tortured. Bad Hair's doing the torturing, and he's like, they're going to give you up. They're going to spend all that money without you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, because he gets up in Guile's face, and he's like, you know what Billy Ray and Kim are doing right now? I thought he was going to be like, they're totally making out.
Boning down.
He's probably touching her boobs.
not you like you wanted to.
But instead he's like, they're going to spend that money without you. Yeah. They're going to leave you here.
It starts off by being like, where's Billy Ray? And he's like, with your mother. And then and then they go into that. Then he pulls out a spur. You know, like for a cowboy shoe.
He goes to like a torture device table. I don't know if you saw this, because he's got a bunch of different like heavy air quotes dental instruments on a bloody table.
Yeah.
Like in pools of blood.
It's just unsanitary.
It's gross.
But he's like, I want to do dentistry. I feel like I got a knack for it. Look at this spur I got from the cowboy boot.
Roll this on your teeth.
Don't do that, please. So then Billy calls, and Big Cass picks up, and he's like, where are you? He's like, with your mother.
Because they've done this before.
They know what's up, yeah. And he's like, I want to talk to your boss. So he hands it to his boss, and it's Christopher.
It's fucking Christopher.
God, it's the damn ass feds.
That dirty cop.
That dirty piss bastard, Christopher.
That piss cop, Christopher.
I can't believe it.
He has an earring. That's how you should have known he was a bad guy.
You should have known. So he just makes him mad, and he's like, put Guile on the phone. And he puts him on, and he's like, hey, Guile's like, don't do anything stupid trying to save me. And he's like, yeah, no, of course. So then we got to an airfield, because like, if you want the real damn book, then you got to come to the airfield. The skydiver airfield is basically what he says.
Skydiver's paradise airfield.
You got to come to Mario's Pizza Paradise, an air combination airfield. So we cut to them. She gives him a gun. He gives her the real book. And she's like, get him back.
He says, here's the real book. I'll keep track of the fake one. And I'm like, this is a callback to the beginning of this movie. Except nothing ever comes of it.
Well, no, he does use it to fake out Michael.
He does, but I thought like he gave her the fake one.
That's what I thought.
And
too.
Kept the real one.
That's what would have been a smarter plan, right?
But I don't know. And maybe he thought he was giving her the real one, but he actually gave her the fake one or something. I don't. Here's the fake one. Whoa, let me juggle him.
Quick, I got a Yu-Gi-Oh shuffle him. Heart of the cards. Which one is this? Ah, it's the sock. Dang it.
I got socks again.
So we cut to...
Open the fake book. It's just a grocery list.
So we cut to the meeting. It's at the airfield. It's just like later. It's the next day because it's light out. Big Cass pulls up. It says Billy Ray about 100 times. Like, Billy Ray, Billy Ray, Billy Ray, Billy Ray, Billy Ray.
Billy Ray, come out and play. Billy Ray.
Where's the book?
The book.
The book. B-O-U-K, the book. And then Billy Ray puts tape in to his car, and his Honda Civic is a suspicious Honda Civic.
They make so much, I don't even know, like, ceremony about him sliding this tape deck in, and it just plays, like, inspirational track number 7.
It's just like, and he's like, why'd you have this on tape?
This is where they wanted to have Wicked Games, even though that's like a weird song about maybe cheating. I'm not entirely sure. It's definitely a sexy song. Well, the video's in black and white and they're on a beach.
Can I tell you, one of my favorite things is fight scenes set to not fight scene music. I love a fight scene set to like a sexy song or like a slow jam or like anything that should not be during a fight. I love that. If Wicked Games would have came on during this car chase fight, gun shootout, that would have been rad. But they did not have that kind of money.
No, it's just inspiration number 7.
Yep. So Guile, like, swings his car around and, like, hits the guy next to Guile. He's like, you gotta kill him. He's like, get in the car. So he hops in the car front first. His ass is hanging out. They're shooting at the car and Guile's ass, and they don't hit him. So that's good for him.
When they were running away earlier in the movie, they were shooting at their feet and hitting the space between. Like, because dust kept kicking up.
Yeah.
And they just cannot hit their mark.
There was like 95 people shooting in that earlier scene too. Like, it was
one of them
not
had like an Uzi.
Yeah. So there's a little shootout because they like hide behind the car and he clips the zip ties around Guile's hands. And Guile's like, thanks for being he's like, what? What are you trying to say? Like, thanks for being my friend. He's like, yeah, duh. All right.
Shut up, idiot.
Nerd. Then there's a big fight. I don't know what happened. It's just a big fight.
It was a big
They split up. Guile has
the
gun.
This is the one where one of the goons takes a forehead bump, spikes himself down onto his forehead while the rest of him is vertical. It's rest in peace, man. This movie wasn't worth it.
God, like, this movie has a lot of stunt guys that just love landing on their necks.
Oh yeah.
One guy does a flip and lands on the back of his neck, but he's sitting. He's like, he stays. He, like, plants.
Yeah.
Like, how Mork sits on Mork and Mindy. But, like, he lands from a front flip on his neck that way.
Johnny Yong Bosch at one point gets hit. He hits, like, a table. Like, his legs hit a table or something. And he just totally pivots onto his neck. But he rolls through it. But he still landed on his neck.
There's another guy, I think it's during this scene, who gets, like, kicked. Like, his legs get kicked out, so he does a front flip, but he lands halfway on that table. It's like a big, sturdy table.
Yeah.
So, like, his butt, halfway through his back down is on the table, and the top of him is not, and he slides off onto his head.
One guy earlier, gets kicked down a flight of stairs. Oh. He like reverse long jumps down them.
Yeah.
And bounces off his ass off like the fifth step and then lands on his neck.
Yeah. Like, and that's the second guy that got kicked down that flight of stairs.
Yeah.
The stunt guys in this movie rule. But like, please take care of yourselves.
Yeah, I hope this is the only movie you've ever made. I want you to do good, but I don't want this to keep happening.
I hope the rest of your movies you don't need to land on your neck.
Yeah, that's better.
Started yawning halfway through that. Guile finds Big Cass and starts shooting at him with his new gun. I think it's the gun that Kim gave Billy. Guile has it now. Shoots it at Big Cass, who can dodge bullets.
He's very dodgy.
He's just like...
He's a defensive fighter because he's just so thick.
Yeah. Everyone is beaten in the warehouse, but Big Cass comes in with Guile and got him again, and he's got his gun to his head. And then we cut from there to Kim, who is in the desert, and a car pulls up. And she gets in the car, and it's her boss, Christopher. Why is he all the way out in the desert? That would be suspicious to me, I think. Maybe she called him. I don't know. So we come back to the warehouse, and there's a whole thing about, Billy's like, I got the book. So, and he pulls out a lighter. He's like, I will burn this sumbitch to ashes unless you give me Guile back.
Hey, have you ever tried to just burn something without any kind of accelerant?
Yeah, I mean, it's paper, so it'll go up,
But the cover's like leather.
Well, I mean, you open it a little and you start it.
Right. You start it in there.
Yeah. So he's
I'm just saying, by the time he touched the lighter to the thing, Michael has enough time to shoot him in the head before anything happens to the book.
Absolutely. So he's like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get in that plane. And we're going to fly away, and once we're up in the air, we're going to parachute this down
to
you.
We will parachute this down. Michael's like, how do I know I can trust you?
He's like...
Billy Ray gets this goofy grin. He's like, you just gotta trust me, Mikey boy.
Gotta have some faith. So then we cut back to the car. They're talking. I don't remember what they say. We cut back because they Guile gets away. I don't know how Guile got out. He didn't let him go, but I think Billy knocks the gun out of his hand, out of Big Cass's hand.
Yeah, something happens that lets him kick it out of his hands, and then Guile gets out and runs.
Yeah, Guile goes to the plane to start the plane. While Billy gets beat up by Big Cass, who is a monster among men.
This fight is very good.
It's real good.
Big Cass does a lot of submission holds. He does a dragon screw into a knee bar, transitions into a cross arm breaker.
He definitely does a full on cross arm breaker.
Yeah, he does an ankle lock at one point.
Yeah, it's real good. So we cut from, it looks like Billy gets knocked out, and it cuts over to Guile trying to start the plane and it not working. Then we cut to the car and it comes back. There's a couple more nanny cam shots, which we haven't seen in a while. I feel like it's just the other camera they had.
They had two cameras, a handy cam and a nanny cam.
And a weird little thing. It's just there's a weird lens on it or something. So Guile gets the plane started. Billy gets away and jumps onto the plane. He grabs the plane by the door frame or whatever. But Big Cass grabs him. Big Cass gets kicked, lands on the ground as the plane drives away.
Right before it cuts away from that, he gets up and runs back after the plane.
I didn't see that.
It's a 2 second, he's up, he grunts, he runs.
Okay.
However,
he's very far behind.
He must also be able to jump very high.
Yeah.
Because that plane was taking off when he got kicked off of it.
So then we cut back to the car, and Kim figures out that Christopher is the bad guy. And she's like, oh, I'm one of those loose ends you were talking about.
Yeah, he said something about tying up loose ends when he picked her up. And then we come back and she's like, oh, you're going to kill me.
Oh, it's me, yeah. So they start doing a little car fight. We get to the plane and then they're flying. They're in the plane, flying in the plane, in the air. And they're like, this is a good time for a talk, right? We'll just do a talk because we think we're chill. We got rid of Big Cass. We don't know what's going on with Kim and Christopher. It's fine.
He did tell Guile she was a fed because he's like, where's Kim? And Billy is just like, she bails. She's a fed.
She's a fed. And he's like, ah, you know. And they say something about these games we play, they get awful lonely. And then, or it gets lonely, something.
Yeah,
games.
And then Billy's like, maybe we should get out of this. And they both go, nah.
Beats a 9 to 5, which as someone who's working a 9 to 5.
I'll heist some diamonds.
Crime,
man,
seems good. Crime seems like I'm not doing the same thing every day, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, if anyone's got a bank heist that they're planning, like, you could use another couple pair of hands, like, we're in. So, also, cops, if you're listening, it's a podcast. It's fake.
It's a joke. We're just making jokes.
Invisible
here. It's entertainment.
Yeah. It's under, like, goofs in the podcast thing. It's not under real crimes we're planning. Like, that's it, okay? Cops. So, also, if you're a cop, you have to tell us. So, if you're a cop and you're listening, you have to tell
everyone
us.
Everyone listening,
cop.
We are officially asking you, are you a cop?
Are you a cop? Because you got to tell us if you're a cop.
Let us know in the reviews.
Yes. 5 stars. I'm not a cop.
Anyone who leaves a 1 star, well, you're a cop.
You're a cop. We had a couple cops, I think. Maybe we got 2 cops that have reviewed us. As they're in the plane, they're talking about, like, you know, giving up the license of crime. Nah, just kidding. Billy Ray goes, sometimes these games get pretty damn wicked. Yeah!
One of 2 title drops.
Most of the title drop, baby! The definitely extreme heist was a, like, hey, I know you just made a movie. Like, some lawyer was like, hey, I know you just made a movie called Wicked Game. You can't.
No, we're not allowing it. Chris Isaacs is pissed.
He's so mad. And there's also a movie from 1995 called Wicked Game, and you can't do that. And they're like, well, dang.
Well, extreme heist.
What about extreme heist? We didn't say it in the movie once.
We'll put the skydiving on the cover. It'll sell like hotcakes.
So we cut back to the car. Kim and Christopher, I didn't know his name, so he's just Fed at this point. Kim and Christopher are fighting. She's like dangling out, and Billy's like halfway out the plane, like just looking at the ground.
Yeah, because him and this was also very weird. After their Wicked Game conversation,
yeah,
it cuts to the outside of the plane. And Billy's just hanging, like, his feet, like, he's hanging onto the door frame outside of the plane because he's an adrenaline junkie. Remember that?
Yeah, he just loves adrenaline. Can't get enough of it. And then Big Cass tackles him because he's on the plane now.
Yeah, he just bursts out of, I don't know, some kind of weird padding
of a backpack. He was in a big jet
in the luggage. He's like, ah,
I got him.
But you didn't, like, know this was magic luggage.
Why did you wait so long? They were just sitting up front chatting.
He needed to wait for... Well, because Billy saw Kim and was like, I'm going to go down there and get her. So he had a parachute on, and I guess Mike wanted to give him a fighting chance.
I guess. Because, yeah, he's like, Guile, pull the plane around, bang a Yui. We're gonna
save Kim. And Guile's like, what?
What? He's like, get the car. We're going to do it.
What are the chances that Kim would be in trouble right where we're flying?
Right under us. So he's like, I'm going to dive. Then Big Cass is there. They dive out at the same time. But before he goes, me and Kim have a lot in common. We got the same boss. Here's me incriminating myself in case you missed it. Okay, Big Cass.
Yeah, and then Mike grabs him and, like, monkey flips out of the plane with him.
So they're Big Cass, BT Dubs, has a parachute on.
Yes, he does.
They both have parachutes on.
Yeah.
There is a for real falling in the sky fight.
Yeah.
They're doing.
Kind of insane.
At one point, Cass pulls his gun out, shoots 100 bullets. None of them hit Billy Ray, who's midair dodging.
No bullets hit anybody in this movie.
No.
Well, no, except for the partner.
What? Guile got hit one time, and the partner got shot in the balls earlier. So he zip ties Big Cass's hands together behind his back.
Yep.
And then, like, kind of disengages because he's getting his altimeter is like, hey, you gotta
pull that
you
shoot.
You gotta pull a shoot.
And so he gets this look on his face, Billy does, of like, this is too much.
I can't do this.
And so he does, like, a pencil dive down to Mike, down to Big Cass.
Yeah.
Who's just screaming at the ground.
Yeah.
Because he's looking at the ground.
Right? That's where I'm going to be.
And
oh,
I'm like,
no.
He's going to pull his chute. When he lands, his hands are still tied. He'll just knock him out or
He'll
something.
He'll get hurt, but, like, he won't be dead.
Instead, he drop kicks him in the face and lets him fall.
He spin kicks him in the head. Watching my little brother, and Scoot's like, oh, I guess he knocked him out so he doesn't. No, he's like not awake.
No.
He did not knock him out though.
He needs to get one more shot in on Mike because Mike's the only guy who could kick his ass.
Yeah. So he kicks him. He starts flipping. So now he's disoriented, and he's like, and then we just get a shot of him going, ah, and hitting the ground and
then
dying,
plopping on the ground. Which Maybe they used a dummy or something for that, but it's definitely a shot of a human shape smashing into the ground.
It's brutal.
Cut to Billy going, "Woo!
Woo! I love murder! Baby! Adrenaline!"
Nothing gets the adrenaline going like a fucking murder.
Like a good sky murder.
Oh my God.
Hey, you know what? It's up in the sky, that's basically international waters.
Yeah, the laws only go up about a mile.
About a mile, mile and a half. If you can do any crime you want on a plane except disable a smoke detector. So then we cut down to the desert where Kim is hiding from Christopher. He like turns a corner to where she was, but she's not there. So she jumps him and like
she kicks the gun out of his hand. And then he catches her and just keeps kneeing her in the guts.
Yeah. And then he says, like, "I'm the criminal bad guy of the movie. I'm the final boss." And then he goes, "About time you showed up." We hear that. And we look over. And there's Billy. And he's like got his big hero shot of his parachute falling down. He doesn't like rip it off.
And we catch it just at like, it looks like a cape kind of.
It's choice. Good shot, Koichi. And the other guy whose name I forgot.
Too bad. It's Makoto? On a handy cam.
It was
Yakamoto.
Yeah, well, that's his last name. I think it's Makoto Yakamoto.
Makoto Yokoyama.
Yokoyama. Okay. So good job, both of you. Everyone doing a great job here. Oh, earlier, while they like when she like broke away from him, he's like, it's 50 miles before the nearest gas station. Callback.
Get it from earlier.
Because this is a good movie. They wrote this. There was a script.
There is one, maybe two instances of good writing.
There's a couple. Also the joke of like, "Hey, my car." Like that's always
good. That's also
that comes up one more time and it's always good.
But was that writing or was that Narvi?
That might be Narvi.
It's hard to tell.
That's true. So he's like, "I got a spare gun." But then she like pulls her gun out, like the gun that he dropped earlier. And she's like, "Freeze." And then Billy just like grabs the gun and turns it around, like spins it and flips it. And is like, "Now I have the gun on you." And I guess they arrest him.
She's FBI.
I feel like, because then we like fade away and we come back.
Do you remember that there was this whole thing in the news about them, like their real names being like murderous criminals?
Yeah.
And that doesn't matter.
I'm genuinely surprised it showed back up even the one time.
Yeah, that's true.
I was not expecting it to come back.
Because they're like, "Frame them for this. It will amount to nothing."
Yeah.
"It's only so we can have it in the newspaper."
Well, look.
No cops come after them.
They were setting up Wicked Game 2, Extreme Heist.
You're right.
Extreme Heist 2, Wicked Game. So we come back. It's later. It fades out, fades back in. They're like, "Hey, you sure you don't want to join us? Our little criminal enterprise?" And she's like, "No." Super not. So then they're like, "Billy." He's like, "Oh, I'll go over here. If you guys need anything, I'm just going to be over here." And like, "No, we got it." Just like, "Okay." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, no, I'm just going to."
"Yeah, are you sure, though?
Yeah.
Like, I can't get you nothing at all."
So he walks away. And they're like, "Something, something, something, something. Big smooch." I don't remember what they say at all. But then they do a big smooch. And then they say their goodbyes. And as they're walking away,
she yells to them, "Keep your noses clean or I'll have to arrest you."
And he's like, "Is that a promise, officer?" She's like, "Yeah, felon."
"Yeah, I'm like, will arrest you. I'm a cop.
I'm an FBI agent." So then,
maybe she like erased their records or
something. I think she cleared it up. I think Christopher's in the trunk right now. This is a different car.
They probably could just be like, "He set us up."
Yeah.
Like,
it's all, it was Michael, that dead body who's in the.
I don't know why he jumped out of the plane with his hands zip tied like that.
I don't know. It's a weird way to.
I didn't murder him in the sky. That's ridiculous.
That guy sounds like an adrenaline junkie to me.
Took it too far.
So then as they're walking away, she looks at a card that he left and it says, "Better to burn out than to fade away."
There was like, I don't know when it was, but Billy Ray is sitting in a car at one point with a card in his hands. And it's like, "What am I going to write on this one?"
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know when that
and
was.
And I feel like they want Def Leppard playing. Because Better to Burn Out than Fade Away is like an opening line to one of their songs.
Sure,
I couldn't tell you which one.
I don't know.
And he writes that on the card.
Yeah.
Because he's like, "I'm going to kill Michael and I'm going to give him this card." Instead, he leaves it on
the card he gave him was like, better luck next time or something like that.
Yeah.
Or something. So yeah, and then and it's just them walking out in the distance is like along a train tracks, and I forget what they're talking about, but one of the last lines is a guy being like, "Oh, I wish I knew where I parked my car." Like,
yeah, because they're like, "Where are we gonna go?" If I don't know, how are we gonna get there? Well, like, I parked my truck around here somewhere.
Yeah, I just gotta find my car, and then that's the end of the movie.
Yeah,
and what a movie it was!
It was bare minimum. An entertaining movie.
I would say it is a home cinema movie classic.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it was filmed by a home cinema.
Yeah, someone did put this on film. There were so many shots and scenes.
There were a lot of them.
All of them that you love in a home cinema movie. Josh, what's the best?
The phone call is the best.
That phone call is so good. Because it's like...
He doesn't know... Because he doesn't answer, like, FBI. He doesn't know who's on the other side of that.
Yeah.
And he's just like, yeah, dude, you want some pizza, bro?
Did you order the pizza? It's so good.
He defaults to Mikey.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird.
I mean, look, if you can, do it, right? What's the worst?
The fake book worked one time?
Yeah, I also agree with that. Because, like... They got $3 million, and then it just disappeared for no reason. And it set it up like, oh, the fake book is actually real and she's lying. But it wasn't. It was the fake damn book. So I don't know. Also, we said a lot of cusses in this one. That I'm not going to bleep all the dams and asses and and books. but hopefully, that like everyone be cool. Don't tell the cops. Who's the MVP?
I don't know. Johnny did all the, like, kick work.
Yeah, he did the legwork, literally.
But Narvi had the whole world of acting on his shoulders.
I think I'm going to give it to Johnny Young Bosch.
I think so.
His acting was also very good in this movie. Like, it wasn't like, obviously he's not winning an Oscar or any awards. But he did, but, like, it was good. It was, like, good, fun acting. And also, he kicks super good. His fights were tight.
He's so good.
I can't wait for The Order to maybe come out.
I just don't know if it's real.
Well, they keep pushing this damn comic book.
Well, yeah, because it costs a lot to make a movie, but it's significantly cheaper to make a comic
book. But they're like,
book.
Here's all the backstory for the characters. Like, I don't know who the characters are. You didn't put a movie out yet, Karen.
That's what the comic book's for, so you know who the characters are.
I don't care.
So that you care when they get killed in the movie. I don't give a piss.
I don't give a piss about this poorly drawn comic because it does not look good. Like, I don't want to neg the artist, but it's not very, it's cheap, efficient art, but that's about it.
Well, yeah, because they don't have a lot of money.
No, but they did a whole Kickstarter, and the movie just is like, as soon, someday, I promise, see you later, it's a comic book, bye!
Thanks for the money, Power Rangers!
I just want to see Dan Southworth fight, I can't remember his name, Austin St. John. Like, I just want to see that. I just want the Order, the movie that you promised us, Karen and David.
They were so hot on it for so long, and then it just burnt out. It's better to burn out than fade away.
Dang it, this movie was prophetic. Anyway, any final thoughts on Extreme Heist?
No, I think we got it covered.
Same. So this is it for the hiatus. We will see you next Monday for the very first episode of Power Rangers Time. That's right. It's almost time for Time Force.
It's close. Oh, shit. I need to make album art.
I got to make the theme song. That's much quicker than making the album art, I bet. We will see you on Monday for that. But until then,
may the power protect you.
Back out so you can read the back of the box.
Oh, you're right.
Get that juicy content.
That's what everybody's coming for. They want that back of the box content.
Oh, yeah. Look, you can't get that just anywhere. Certainly not for that movie. You can only get it from Video Warehouse.